this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Sir, how you doing? How you doing? Ole's at the wheel. How good does it feel? Opening weekend, knocking the Blues around 4-0.
Still buzzing, sir.
Couldn't have written it.
Still buzzing. Manchester United beat Chelsea, the Chelsea scum. Hollow, hollow. You can sing it all week long. 4-0. I mean, the type of game that, you know, fans were kind of dreading it. The whole Glazers out. Not such a good transfer.
I think you were dreading it, sir.
I mean, I really was. And then against, I was worried about our youth. We played against Chelsea's youth. Ole's got some magic. What do you think?
Using that fairy dust that we saw last season again, it was probably deservedly 4-2, you know, when they hit the post twice. But, hey, I think that's just some slab heads, gravitational pull. Keeping the ball out of the net. What a monster at the back he was, along with our other new signing, Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Sir, defensively, not a lot went wrong. Maybe some exposing some other players that you know have looked better in the past, like Luke Shaw.
We kind of looked a little out of sorts. Some unlucky chances that were created by Chelsea early. But again, like you said, the two signings, that's the big takeaway from the match. Shout out to the Mad Dog in the Fog. Absolutely mint atmosphere. Chelsea bar, we were in away territory.
If you will.
Singing our hearts out, and we got you that instant take. Took an Uber from the city, recorded it right away so you could get that buzzing energy we had right after the bar, sir.
I think in the biz they call that a hot mic. That was a hot mic because we were feeling hot, hot, hot after that victory. Shout out to James, our boy at Mad Dog in the Fog, for supplying those dark ales after we just sang our voices out. We had to represent.
It was crazy.
It was 30-1.
We were approached by an old Chelsea fan, actually
salty,
straight
off
the boat from England, if you will. And he actually came and shook our hand. And he said, "You know what? You two guys standing here in the back singing all game long. You two versus 100 Chelsea fans. We outsung them. The bants was hot, sir."
I don't know if he said that. I don't know if he admitted that.
I mean, he kind of came hat in hand and gave us that. I mean,
he said you know what he said. He said you come
us.
Back.
He respected the
come
game.
Back. We play him later in the season.
Dude.
So we could do the same to you.
Like,
we'll see about
proper,
that, old man.
I mean, if you want to talk about singing game, we're like proper away fans. You know, we can go away with the club. We can sing all the songs, sir. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing. Our wives tell us to shut up. That's why we have to go there alone. But I mean, singing all game long, like as if we were in the Stretford End or in the Way Support, felt great.
Sir,
absolutely great.
The boys were certainly putting us in the mood when they hammer Chelsea 4-0, greatest victory since 1965 against the Chelsea Blues. Sentiment's going to be high. Feelings are going to be exuberated. Yeah. So we were flying. I'm sure everybody else around the world watching the Red Devils take it to Chelsea. We're feeling the same way. Should we hop into that game, sir?
Tons of buzz around the world. Love the social media. It was on fire. And thanks for all the tweets and banter. It was a great time. Jumping in the lineup, as you said, Dave Saves, the world number one in net. I hope they're editing some amazing video before they announce this contract. I mean, apparently it's done. I can't wait to hear that announced. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Harry Maguire, Victor Lindelof, Luke Shaw are back four. Then we had the two-man midfield, Scott McTominay, a.k.a. the Mick Sauce, and Paul P. together. That's an interesting combination. I did call that one, as you did as well. And then we had Andres Pereira, Jesse Lingard, Anthony Martial, and then Marcus Rashford up front. Now, I saw the lineup with Rashford and Martial swapped, and I saw Pereira at 10. So a few different variations. The front four, if you will, was a fluid attack. They were exchanging throughout the game. What did you think about this lineup?
I think I called this lineup. What I did not call was the midfield two instead of a midfield three. He did play in a midfield two of Scott and Paul Pogba, which I don't think came off the whole game, sir. That was one of the things where we couldn't really gain possession. We had some difficulty passing out of the back. But I was happy to see the players. I think this is our best starting 11 available with Sanchez still on the bench.
Sanchez, I don't know if he's going to feature. When I saw the starting 11, I was a little surprised to see Martial slotting in at number 9. Rashford out on the left-hand left-hand wing. And then Pereira, I thought Mata would get the start. You know, something that Sir Alex always did, he always brought in those United legends who played for former clubs in those big matches, because usually that's that X factor, right? So I thought Juan Mata would feature at number 10, but Pereira got the job done. Sir, jumping in the first half, Chelsea came out a little better than Manchester United, I have to admit it. It was only for a couple of minutes, maybe the first 13, and Abraham hit the post right away. We were shook. I mean, we barely got a dark ale. We're sitting down, and then thwack off the post. I rewatched this match after the pub that night because, you know, you're not in that environment.
It's a little hard to pay attention to every detail, sir. You gotta capture all the tactics, but this game was off with a flash. Abram obviously hit the post early in the first 5 minutes.
It was unlucky, though. It was an unlucky bounce that gifted him the chance. I mean, he should have put it away again. That's the way the cookie crumbles, though. So in the fourth minute, United looking kind of a little nervy, admittedly. Ole said the same thing. And the seventh minute, Martial was gifted the ball in the box, and he wasted a golden opportunity. Zuma actually turned the ball over to him, and Martial, he hit it pretty solid, but, you know, could have lifted it a little bit.
He needed to put a little more foot behind the ball. I think he was just so surprised to actually get it. And then in the 17th minute, sir, Rashford, red hot.
By Georgino Pereira. Play on, says the referee. This is Rashford. He's gone down. Penalty.
Penalty all day.
Rashford to give Manchester United the lead. Rashford smashes it home.
Smashes it home, sir, like Paris.
I mean, he picked the same spot as Paris. Cool as you like. I'm just glad we didn't have to see that Paul Pogba cheeky run-up, if you will. So, again, another great goal for Marcus Rashford. Some people say undeserved. The Chelsea fans were moaning at the pub. But, you know, I'm going to take what you get, right?
Hey, I mean, there's one thing if you're going to now play. They were definitely playing a little better than us in the first 15. But that's a fair penalty and good finish from Marcus Rashford. I'm glad our number 10... You know, you'd have a goal scorer taking your penalties, I think. You know,
I probably
did a decent job, but I think now that Rashford's ready to take the mantle as our number one striker, he should be taking pens, and he looks like he doesn't mind it, sir. He looks plenty confident.
Yeah, and the rest of the first half was kind of boring. United, you know, they were kind of back and forth with Chelsea. This is two inexperienced sides. I mean, we're really watching two teams, kind of nervy, a lot of youth, and it was up for grabs, really. I mean, whoever was going to get that next goal, it was 50-50. And I said, hey, I turned to you. I said, look, we just got to get in the first half and, you know, get in up 1-0 and have Ole maybe make a sub, maybe calm the lads down. But, you know, that's kind of how I was feeling going in the first half.
No, I mean, I think Harry slotted right in and added a calmness to the back line because the midfield was giving the ball away left, right, and center. They definitely looked disjointed. They couldn't pass out of the back. I think it was that midfield too. I think you need to bring an extra player in. But I think Harry and Lindelof feeding off of him and Aaron Wan-Bissaka doing his thing as well, I think they kind of held the line. And of course, Dave being called into a couple of solid saves
along
the way.
Solid saves from De Gea, and he didn't have much to do because, you know, he had those two new defenders doing a job. And Aaron Wan-Bissaka, I mean, lighting up the right-hand side of the pitch, he was on fire. And Paul Pogba, you know, he did kind of, we'll get to the second half when Pog, boom, we'll get to that. But some moments in our third where he kind of was a little too cheeky, lost the ball. But, you know, that's Paul P, and he'll do that in the first half, and then he'll have a lights out second half, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it wasn't his best game, but he had some moments of brilliance. That's that third goal to Rashford right off the hop. We'll get to it in a bit. But, dude, that's Pogba, right? It's like inconsistent, but when he's on, he's on. When he's off, not so much.
All right, jumping in the second half, sir. We didn't have to wait long in the 65th minute.
Oh, he's overhitting. He's looking for Jesse Lingard to his right. Pereira. Great ball in! 2-0! Anthony Martial! United have soaked up all the pressure!
Tony Martial came from France.
English press said he had no chance.
50 million down the drain. Tony Martial scores again, sir.
It's good to sing that song, sir. Our new number 9 got the number back.
And he slotted up number 9 up top, and him and Rashford both playing out on the left-hand wing, and boy, did when they got the ball forward and we had numbers and Chelsea was looking ragged because they were coming for the equalizer, you know, things opened up. And, you know,
it's something that we did with Ole during the hot times of like rip and roaring, Ole's at the wheel. we could counter. You could certainly counter. And that team is showing that they still remember how to counter. Now we have a defense that probably holds the line a little harder than it used to. So exciting things. And speaking of not having to wait long, it was about 90 seconds later, sir.
Yeah, and just a quick shout out to Pereira for the assist. He did have a sleek ball into Martial. And, you know, I did kind of think he was a little too inexperienced to start in this big of a game. But for him to get that assist, that is huge. He faked
big
the
second
cross,
goal.
Perfect ball in the Martial, an easy finish. But like you said, we barely got done celebrating the first goal, and then Paul P with a gem of the pass in the 68th.
With the offside, Rashford, Black stays down. Game over. Marcus Rashford, what a finish, and a roaring finish at the Stretford end. And what a day this is for Manchester United.
I mean, I could watch that goal all day. Paul Pogba with the perfect pass. We've seen him do it so much. That's why we ultimately want him to stay at Manchester United. I wish he would kind of take that captain's armband and, you know, be that all-star player we want him to be. But he's flirting a little too much, sir, as you know, as always. But that's just Paul Pogba. He's the new player. He's the new million-dollar man. You got to take it. He's going to come on the pitch, season opener, and hit that pass. Like, hey, he deserves it. So
there hasn't been a story, right, in about a week, so that's
a
good sign.
We'll get to that one a little later.
Did you find one?
Yeah, we did. And then, so you can't underestimate Rashford's first touch on that ball, too. And then to slide
kills the
home,
ball,
Aspilicueta right on his back, and just a great touch, great finish. Rashford looks, you know, preseason's been paying off for him. Ole, what Ole's doing with Marcus Rashford, you know, he calm penalty, great touch, great finish. I mean, that's very hard to do.
He's listened to his mentor, and that's what he said earlier when he first joined as the manager last December, is that sometimes Marcus needs to just slow down, take a breath, and slot it home, pass into the back of the net, if you will. And that's exactly what he did for the third goal. That was game over indeed, sir. We were really just rip-roaring Chelsea fans' faces at that point.
There was a moment where we were singing hello, hello, a little too much, and you turned to me. You're like, all right, I want to make it out of here without getting in a brawl, because there's 100 Chelsea fans after four.
And fuel to the fire.
After four bars of hollow, it's like time to chill out a little bit. And you said, we're not Scouse bastards. We're a classy club. So, you know, we expect to win.
You don't rub the salt in. You don't rub the salt in.
Can't be too excited here. 73rd minute. You know what? Dan James, have a go, son. Comes on for Pereira. I love this sub. Classic Manchester United. Get the youth in when you're up by three against Chelsea at home. And we didn't have to wait long. I'm going to say, we're Manchester United. We got a lot of history. There's something in the atmosphere at Old Trafford, something about youth prospects, and you couldn't write the story any better, sir.
Martial, Pogba, brilliant. Away he goes. Pogba, back comes Kovacic. Pogba, James, Dan James. Dream debut, Daniel James. He will never forget this moment.
He will never forget this moment. Good for the young lad, Dan James. You could see how much it means to him in his face, and you can even tell based on how the teammates around him are celebrating with him. What a special moment for the young lad. Sir, I think he's about to kick on from here.
Yeah, especially everything that's gone on in his personal life. I mean, for him to keep his head on straight, debut at Manchester United, I mean, unbelievable. He pointed up to the sky. We all know why. Dan James, absolute class act. I'm behind the kid 110%. I don't know how you couldn't be. And, you know, just a quick stat on that debut goal. 7 minutes from getting on the pitch for Manchester United, his first EPL game, scores
a goal.
Who was the last player who did that?
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. So, you know, it was written in the stars, sir. This is a very special club for a lot of reasons. That being one of them. Dan James, have a go, son.
We're just one of those clubs where we have these stories that seem like they're fairy tales, but they're
real.
Yeah, so this team, there's some real quality in it, and I think as long as we're patient, don't get ahead of ourselves, don't expect to win the Premier League this year, there could be something there, sir.
Some people are.
No,
I'm not one of them. In the 86th minute, just finishing up here, Greenwood and Mata on for Rashford and Lingard. Give Greenwood some action. I hope to see him feature going forward. I don't think we're going to see him at Wolves. Could get the start. We shall see. I think on the right-hand side, we were kind of missing something. So I would like to see maybe a Greenwood there. Match stats and tactics jumping into it. Possession, Manchester United 46% of the ball to Chelsea's 54% of the ball. Shots on target, United 5 to Chelsea 7. Quick tactical notes from my end, reviewing the pass maps and average position. I tweeted this out. You can follow us at USA Red Devils on Twitter. Most of the attack featured on the left-hand side. Shaw saw a lot of the ball. Rashford and Martial kind of both maneuvered over there. Ole's really fluid with that front four. I mean, you saw Rashford play number nine. You saw Rashford pressing the keeper. Then you saw Martial pressing the keeper. Then you saw Lingard pressing the keeper. I think at moments at the end of the first half, he switched to the 4-4-2 as well and put Pereira wide. And that kind of helped shore things up for that 1-0 coming in at half. Pogba, the link, he had more passes than anyone on the field. And he just kind of made it all work. The only thing I could see is that we're out of balance on the right-hand side of the field. Without that true number nine going down the middle and Rashford and Martial swapping on the left, we're kind of the shape of the team. We really do need a right winger to balance it out. Some people say it's not the priority. We need more in the midfield. What do you think, sir?
I think we need both, sir. I think we've been crying out for a right winger for a long time, but with the subtractions of Fellaini and Herrera, this midfield is still thin. I think you even saw in this game it was a little thin at times. So I don't know if Pogba can play in a midfield too, especially with Scott McTominay, maybe with Andrew Herrera, or maybe with a Fred when he's up to his level, and hopefully with Scott eventually. But I think right now that was a big ask against Chelsea. And they ultimately 4-0, but that was because of decisive counterattacking and holding the line and having a great defense now.
Yeah,
which
and
we have.
Here's an interesting stat. The most progressive passing was from Anthony Martial, slotting into Rashford, slotting it in to Luke Shaw on the left-hand side. I mean, you wouldn't expect Martial. He's supposed to be the number nine. He's the one playing the ball forward. And then the person who carried the ball forward the most, Victor Lindelof. You totally saw Harry Maguire, the rock at the back, heading out. If you look at all the headers he went in for. I mean, like Chris Smalling, Phil Jones. I mean, you got to give Harry Maguire credit. He's a towering center back. He knows when to make the call on getting in there, moving forward and blocking. The only critique I have is there were holes early and we don't have that uniform press like at Manchester City. So when we had our three or four attackers pressing, the left back and the right back, they kind of had to make a call. Like Luke Shaw would be, I'm going to go press. Or Wan-Bissaka would, I'm going to go press. And then when we got beat on that press, that's when we were cut open by Chelsea. That's when the other opportunities.
Shaw also was pretty exposed at times on the left.
Exactly.
You know, when he does bomb forward, he doesn't get back nearly as fast as an air Wan-Bissaka does.
Yeah.
And that's something you notice. And it was exposed a number of times. And we just still also have some of this like lackadaisical defending that we saw a lot last season, careless at times. And I think Maguire gets his stamp on this defense, emerges as a leader. Him and Victor start gelling off each other even more. I think they'll only get better at the back.
We found our starting center back, sir. It's been a few years. Match reaction for a second consecutive season. Manchester United's first goal of the Premier League campaign has been a penalty. Hey, I'll take it. That was also Paul Pogba versus Leicester City in 2018-19. Chelsea will end the day in the Premier League relegation zone for the first time since September 30th, 2000. Love that stat. And they also lost the UEFA Super Cup today to Liverpool. Those Scouse bastards. Since his debut in September 2015, Anthony Martial has scored 49 goals in all competitions for Manchester United, more than any other player. Shout out to the Frenchman there. Fits and starts. He does it in blocks, so I need to see more consistency from Martial. But hey, everyone's buzzing after that win. And Chelsea's starting 11. Their starting 11 average age was 25 years and 199 days compared to Manchester United's average age of 24 years and 227 days. A young side out there, sir.
Young squad, young side for both, actually. But it tells you how much younger United really is these days. Not starting a Matic, not starting a Mata, and playing the kids all around the pitch.
Sir, but what do we know? Let's check in with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
What's that?
You must be delighted with that.
Yeah, of course. You'd take a win because it's about points, first game. Then again, the performance second half was very pleasing. I think that was the big plus. Coming into half time, I think we were a bit lucky because they pinned us back, created chances, but we settled a few nerves and a couple of things at half time, and I think we second half performed really well.
There was a piece in the Sunday Times today where Graham Souness said that Marcus Rashford is not ready to be the main man at Man United and that he never would be under Sir Alex. What's your answer to that after this performance?
Well, I think Marcus is developing, and he's developing really well. He's growing. You see his stature now, his body. He's capable of playing more, I'm sure, this year. And, yeah, he struggled with his ankle last season. So this year I expect more from him. But the whole squad, we're fitter, we're stronger. I think you can see that second half that we're more than capable of lasting games.
You must be...
Sir, there you hear it from the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He thinks Rashford is more in the tank. What do you think?
I think Marcus Rashford is ready to have his breakout year. I mean, I think he's already broken out, but cement himself as our starter, as one of the top strikers in the Premier League, get 20-plus goals in the Premier League, and I think he's going to kick off from here. As long as injury doesn't get in the way, this team is built around Pogba, a strong defense, and our number 10, Marcus Rashford.
Hey, credit to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He called it. A lot of critics with the kids again, but you know, I don't think he was fully backed by the board. I don't exactly know what the narrative is, whether Ole wanted to buy certain players, the board refused to buy certain players, or the fact that they're just saying, hey, Ole actually wants players who want to play for Manchester United. I'm sure it's not either or. I'm sure it's a combination of both. Love to be a fly on the wall during those conversations. But regardless, I just hope the board give Ole time. We get to see what this team needs after maybe we get to January. Maybe we can reinforce it a little bit, and you never know. Go for a title run, sir. Maybe win the Europa League.
Hey, that would be hot. But first, let's start with Alex's Daily Mail headlines tomorrow today. And well, you hinted at it, but the kids are all right. And the board may not have backed Ole like we needed him to be backed in the summer, but we do have an academy with a lot of strong players that are ready to step up. Pereira, McTominay, Chongi, Greenwood. So, hey, we got nothing else. Might as well play the kids, and we're going to see what they're made of coming up this season.
Let's hear your next headline.
Next one, from weakness to strength. And last year, you know, conceding the most goals we'd ever done in the Premier League era to now having a solid, solid back four with a core of Maguire and Lindelof, AWB on the right, Luke Shaw, who's getting better every year on the left. Positive things are happening.
I mean, this is the biggest takeaway I had from the match. I mean, biggest weakness to biggest strength. Last season, our defense completely failed us. Now, Harry Maguire, I can't underestimate the value he adds to our back line. I mean, look, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, clearly he's got the pace. I need to see more product from him going forward. I think we're going to be challenged. He's going to be challenged in that role when we're playing against worser teams that are going to make us break them down and get quality service in from the right-hand side. But Harry Maguire is absolutely the truth, worth every penny. He completely solidifies our back line, allows Lindelof to move forward, play the ball forward. He's confident on the ball. I mean, everything he did during this game, if you watch his highlight reel, Manchester United even released it. I mean, not an error made. And boy, is he going to be, I mean, let's just hope he doesn't get injured, right?
He's a beast. He's a commanding center back, exactly what the team needed. They needed a leader, someone to step up and pull the strings from the back four. Aaron Wan-Bissaka is also the truth. He was also just like deaf signing. Took too long, but we got both of them in. And that brings us to the last headline. So that's always at the wheel. We got that fairy tale stuff still working these days. It was rock and roll football all day against Chelsea. That was unbelievable. I mean, counterattack, direct, decisive, clinical finishing. We got to keep it going. It's sometimes it's hard to bottle and maintain that. We saw that last season. So hopefully with a fit squad that Ole talked about, we can press on.
I mean, the mentality, right? The mentality was there. That's at Old Trafford. Nervy to start, but when we actually got a hold of the game and realized everyone kind of settled in, we were the better side. And if you really look at Chelsea's opportunities, it kind of came from lucky chances, deflections. The ball kind of bounced the wrong way. And Manchester United, we hit them on the break. Our players going forward showed their skill. Clearly, we had the balance of play was in our favor because Chelsea had to go for the equalizer. But at the end of the day, I mean, I do think we have the quality for more clean sheets, you know, because of Harry Maguire, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, and it's going to take some more tinkering up front. I don't necessarily think we got the attacking options correct. Like, there's a little out of balance, you know, Rashford, Martial, who's going to be playing down the middle? It's got to be Rashford, right, in my opinion, based on how he played, right?
I mean, I think actually he's going to be tinkering more in the midfield. I think he's going to revert back to the three and bring out the best in Paul Pogba, maybe push him forward and put McTominay with Pereira maybe as your other CM, because Pereira was a pit bull all day against Chelsea. Yep. If you watch that game, he did not stop running. He knows how to make himself a fan favorite at Old Trafford and probably a fan favorite for Ole, because that's what the squad's going to be about this year. It's going to be hardworking, and we're going to bring it against Wolves next Monday, sir.
Woo! Jump in the Twitterverse real quick at KnowlesFan7302 at USA Red Devils. Couldn't have written a better script for the first game. Once they got settled down, it was a solid match. Now just need to make sure they take care of the teams they're supposed to. I totally agree. Wolves would be among one of those teams we should take care of. And then Gary Neville, quote, United will win again. that's going to happen. I can guarantee you as clear as day, United will win again. They will probably win the league before Liverpool. That's not being disrespectful. They're closer than you think and not as bad as you think. Hashtag MUFC. Sir, that's a big quote, big statement from Gary Neville.
Sir, I mean, that just sounds like a legend would say. He just, he believes in this squad. I'm not so sure, Gary, but hey, I think we're on to something. I just think we need some big additions before we're going to be able to press on and win a Premier League. But
if you look at,
it's in this squad. There's a lot of goodness and depth and really exciting young players that are just getting started.
And I guess he believes in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Ole could be the man to do it. I think this season a little too far out of reach, just given we need three more, you know, top quality players in. I you have to, unless we, you know, Greenwood's going to net 20, Rashford's going to net 20. I mean, Daniel James gets 10. Unless these kids are just going to blow up, I think it's going to be a little while before we're going to be winning the league.
Well, this is the true building season, right? We've been talking about these transition years. This is actually what it looks like. You have a coach who's going to be able to buy his players, even if it takes a little longer, right? He probably couldn't get all the players he wanted in the summer, but we got three very solid signings.
But the board
who
has all to back look him, like, right?
The board, they have to continue to back him. Liverpool, right? Liverpool won the Champions League, and they should have splashed another $100 million if they were smart. And instead, they just said, we'll just buy, like, whatever they spent. I don't even know how much they spent. But they didn't spend enough. We didn't spend enough. We have to spend in January. We have to spend next summer. And we have to just keep adding to the squad. Because look at City.
They just have, like, unbelievable amount of depth. I bet against signing anyone in January, unfortunately.
No,
it's just January signings don't come off. I mean, short of Ever and Vidic, you know, it's been Sanchez being one of those, obviously, sir. Next tweet, at SportsStat2. Harry Maguire is at Premier League's man of the match in his Man United debut. That sounds very sweet, sir, especially we pay that top dollar price for him. 7 clearances, most in the match. 4 interceptions, most in the match. 86% passing accuracy and dribbled past no times. Harry Maguire, the beast. Paul Pogba calls him the beast. I am more ecstatic about him than any player we probably could have signed. And, you know, seeing him play for England and Leicester, we actually went to Tottenham Leicester at Wembley last year, and he has a towering presence. Doesn't look like it. He doesn't act like it. Like, Van Dijk has the full package. He's kind of like, he's got the look. He like definitely looks bigger in the press, everything. Harry Maguire's understated.
Yeah,
he's
Harry
English
Maguire
man.
Looks like he played 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Which is what I love about it. He's just old English slab head. And he's a
no-nonsense
defender, but he does exactly what you ask him to do. He wins aerial duels. He made a bunch of interceptions, key interceptions in this game, and is a leader. Most importantly, we need a leader in this defense. I know De Gea is a leader, but I think he's more of a soft-spoken leader. This guy was yelling at people in the first 5 minutes. When Abraham hit the post, he was screaming at people. Yeah. And that's what you need to see, because you need a Vidic. You need a, you know, you need a Rio. You need a personality that's going to get in people's face and get them pumped up. So he looks to be that sort.
Also, only player on the field for Manchester United wearing black boots. That's quality.
I did notice that. Old school.
With the black socks, the black boots, and that slab head.
We should bring that back. We should all be wearing black boots.
Hey, Harry Maguire, let's just not buy the jersey, sir. That's
we're not going to.
We're not
touching
anybody's
jersey.
I love it.
We're touching old players.
All right. We got a next match, sir. That's right. Wolves versus Manchester United, Molineux Stadium in Wolverhampton, the United Kingdom. Monday, August 19th, noon Pacific. So we're Monday night football, UK time, noon Pacific. It's a great kickoff, but we will not be making the trip into the city to meet James for a few dark ales. Going to be working, sir. Wolves are also known as City Light. United have won 6, drawn 1, and lost 3. And we've only won 2 of our last 5 matches in the Premier League with Wolves. It's been a tough ride, and they actually, that FA Cup boot by Wolverhampton last year, that was kind of the end of the Ole magic train. So a little wary here. They could end the magic once again.
Wolves gave us the voodoo last year between the FA Cup and then playing the game in the Premier League, and they had our number. They had that high press, the same thing we had against Chelsea. So we're gonna have to have a little bit of a better recipe for being able to pass on the back. Tommy's gonna have to make a forward pass. So looking forward to this game, because we have some revenge to get on Wolves after all the hard shit they put us through last season. We have to kind of kick their teeth in and run them over the field, because that's going to be how we're going to win games. We're going to be the hardest working team, and if you also have talent, that's a great combo.
Hey, we did Chelsea right after kind of getting pipped last year unfairly twice, right?
True.
And those two games probably would have been the difference between top 4 and not. We would have showed up at the end of the season if we had something to play for.
Yep.
A little history on Wolves. Formed as St. Luke's FC in 1877. They've played at Molineux Stadium since 1889. That's no joke. And they compete in the Premier League, the top division of English football, if you didn't know, after winning the 2017-18 EFL Championship. Wolves compete in the 2019-20 UEFA Europa League, so we might see them towards the end of the tournament. The first time the club has qualified for a European tournament for 39 years by virtue of finishing seventh place or one below us. So if there was a team that was on our footing, we do need to put some daylight in between us and Wolves. They do have a great coach, and they have a pretty solid team. A lot of players linked with Manchester City. That's why I call them City Light. They love the high press. And Wolves have a long-standing rivalry with other West Midlands clubs, sir. You know, the Starks and Lannisters, they don't like each other. The main ones being West Bromwich Albion. West Bromwich Albion. There you go. I'm just making up Game of Thrones houses right now.
You're doing great.
Against whom they contest the Black Country Derby. Although the two clubs have not met in League Fisher since 2011-12. Last season they competed in the same division. Sir, from the tactical perspective, the Wolves went with the 3-5-2 against Leicester. The medium block with zonal pressing a la City. A lot of Portuguese influence here. The three midfielders in the five sit tight in front of the back three. And so they actually want to invite teams to go wide on them. So you're going to see a lot of Luke Shaw, Aaron Wan-Bissaka in the channels, right? I think they're going to play that medium block against Manchester United. Those three are going to sit in front of the defenders, tighten it up and make us break them down, which couldn't be a tough task. And then it's really going to be trying to hit us on the counter, and we're going to try to hit them on the counter. Again, we're playing away. So tactics-wise, I look for Manchester United not to, you know, it's on Wolves to attack at home. So I would say we sit back a little bit, try to do the same thing we did against Chelsea, exploit Rashford behind the lines, Martial behind the lines.
A lot of corners would be my projection.
Yes.
I think a chance to see Slabhead in action, because actually we got a pretty big team these days, so he's nasty in the air.
Jump in the physio room, the injuries. Eric Bailly, he is out. Potential return date, December 21st. So Merry Christmas to Eric Bailly. Get well soon. Sanchez is out with other. He's been linked. We'll get to those rumors a little later. And then Pereira, this is the goalkeeper. He is actually, I think he's heading out from the club. And he has a lower back injury, but he will not be featuring, obviously. Booking the bookies, sir. Manchester United plus 131 for the win. Wolves plus 242 and the draw plus 233. If I had my druthers and I had to place a bet, the odds on the draw look pretty solid. I think Wolves aren't going to beat Harry Maguire, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, and you know they're tough defensively. I think they're going to play pretty stingy at home. The draw. I like this because the return. Clearly, I'm a Manchester United fan at heart. We're going to beat them 5-6-7-0. But you know, if I was a betting man or a neutral, I think the draw might be a good odds.
Sir, never bet the draw. Come on, you know, it's emotional hedge only. But it's good to see us back in the driver's seat as far as the odds are concerned. We're favorites.
Chelsea. I mean, I was surprised. A lot of people were surprised. I mean, we have the texter with all the EPL fans. They were surprised that we were favorites last time. Sir, what is your lineup? What's the starting 11 that's going to get it done away from home?
Sir, I'm going to stick with an oldie but a goodie. Same as last week. David De Gea in net. We got Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, Maguire, and Shaw in my back four. Then a midfield three of Pogba, McTominay, and Andreas Pereira. And then a front three of Jesse Lingard, Tony Martial, and Marcus Rashford.
So who's playing number nine in that front three?
Tony Martial's playing number nine.
All right. My starting 11, pretty close. Dave saves Bissaka, The Truth, Lindelof, Maguire, Shaw, Pogba, McTominay in the two. Then I'm going to play Mata in the hole with Greenwood on the right, Martial on the left, and Rashford at number nine. So the 4-2-3-1, kind of mixing it up. I love to see Mason Greenwood get the start on the right-hand side. We're pretty non-existent there on the attacking side. Lingard came in deep, and so did Pereira. So everything had to go down the left. So I'd like to see a little more balance attacking-wise. Maybe that would do it. But Ole's probably a smart man. Why change it up, sir? Probably something more like you have. But I can't give the same lineup as you.
You took it first.
Score prediction. Who do you got? What do you think?
So I'm calling 2-0. Brace from Tony Martial.
You took my score line as well. I'll go 2-1 then. I think we'll maybe leak a goal away from home. Could be a cheeky error, and then we'll score two. Hit them with one at the death, kind of like we did at AFC Bournemouth last season. United in the news, Paul Pogba, that's right. This would be a podcast without Pog drama. Talking to the French press after the game, commented on his future and said, you know, there's always a question mark over my head. And he kind of flirted, you know, that it's not a done deal. He's playing at Manchester United. You know, after a 4-0 win at home, you would hope that Paul P would kind of cement Manchester's my home. I'm here for now, and you know, we'll kind of see what happens. But he did something like that, but a little too much, in my opinion. Again, this is Paul Pogba. He is the new footballer. What do you think of this, sir?
What do you expect at this point? After all of his open flirtations over the summer, the window's closed in England, but the window's still open around Europe. So I think this is going to continue as long as he's at United. This will continue even after September 2nd when the window closes in most of the other countries. I think rumor mill will keep churning out Pogba rumors because Raiola wants it that way. Pogba might want it that way, but the pressers certainly sell a lot of papers talking about United.
Yeah, and I think this is just the new player, right? The new player, the new agent. This is the era of big money deals. Agents making lots of money on transfers. You know, these big agent fees, image rights, etc. Paul Pogba and his agent get paid way more if he trades clubs than if he doesn't, right? The old days of me wanting to stay at Manchester United for 12, 13 years are kind of over, the Valencias, if you will. And these big stars, they want to trade clubs every 4, 5 years. Like, look at Neymar, go to PSG 2 to 3 years. He's got to trade back.
Three years, and then
he's going to go to MLS, going to do a big deal. So players will play for more clubs. I think this is just a trend. And Paul Pogba, look, he's being cheeky. Him and his agent, the way they're going to negotiate is just always keep it unknown, always press the issue in the press, always have people talking about it. They're letting other clubs know, as well as Manchester United, hey, sign me a new deal, right? I want more money. So either way, he's just looking for more money.
So
right?
What do you do in the situation? You sign him down for a longer deal, even though you know he's going to try and trade? I think you do it, at least you cool him off. You get him to stop leaking rumors around the press.
I think you pull the Roy Keane. I don't believe a word that comes out of his mouth. That's what he said last season. I forget towards the end of the year when there's all these rumors about Paul P. And then he did an interview. He did it was totally United propaganda. They gave him a sit down interview, had him talk about how much he liked Manchester United. And then they cut to Roy Keane. What do you think of Paul Pogba's interview? It was really great, right? And, I don't believe a word the kid says. So I'm just going to say, I'm not going to pay attention to anything Paul Pogba does off the pitch. Personally, we have to talk about it because, we are a podcaster. But at the end of the day, take it with a grain of salt. Paul P. He's always moving. He's always going to Real Madrid. Don't worry about it.
Speaking of rumor mills, United's got their own, pressers sending out that they will reject any Real bid for Pogba, according to ESPN. But that's just like that counterbalance, right? They have their one. United comes out for the opposite, and they're going to say, hey, he's our man. He's not going anywhere. He's got 3 years left of his contract, and he sells a lot of noodles.
And what's good about Paul Pogba at the end of the day, and it's kind of funny about him and Raiola, is they actually went out and said, hey, I want to leave. I want to go to Real Madrid. I want to go to Barcelona. Please pay the $200 million or $150 million, whatever. No one would pay it. No one would pay it. So he has to play at Manchester United. Now he has to show how good he is in order to leave. So he's incentivized to play lights out like he did against Chelsea. So as long as he's playing on the pitch and not yogging and being an issue in the dressing room, getting to the next article, Alexis Sanchez. Per the Mail, Alexis Sanchez wants to quit Manchester United in the next fortnight, sir. Wants to join Serie A. Team Juventus, AC Milan, or Napoli, all interested in Alexis Sanchez. Apparently the deal is they'll pay part of the wages and we'll pay some of them. So we'll have to pay Sanchez to play somewhere else. Madness stuff.
We have enough thinness by not replacing Lukaku that if you're going to do this as well, even if he wants to quit, Pogba wants to leave, you make him play anyway because we need him to play.
No, but the rumor is Ole is making him train with the reserves, or he wants to. Ole's completely anti-Sanchez, doesn't want him in the team, wants to force him out, wants him to take a cut rate deal. That's what Ole...
Well, Sanchez is probably stirring up shit, obviously, and not having a good attitude about the whole thing. So he probably doesn't want any cancerous personalities around his team. He already has kind of one question mark to deal with in Paul. But Paul seems to be having a good time these days. So that's probably why he's just like, you're in a reserve training mood. You're not even coming with the full squad. So that would make a player want to leave.
Well, if Ole's the mentality, the culture, to build that new culture, you got to get players like Sanchez out of the club, right? The mopey players who don't try. I can only imagine what the training ground's like. I mean, if we could see it, we would learn a lot. Next article, pergoal.com. Are you watching Manchester United? Lukaku nets 4 in preseason inter debut. This was against a fourth division, 18-year-old side. So it's like
not bad.
This article,
he's going to bag him in, mate. He's going to bag him.
Call me when he's doing it. This is a friendly. Everyone's making it.
News is light these days, sir. What is there to talk about?
We do have some news on Lukaku. We literally just burned burned Alex's jersey.
Went up like a flood. Went up in a hot second.
So for those fans who are just tuning in, we are not burning Lukaku's jersey because we hate Lukaku. The bet is if you buy a jersey of a new player coming in and they leave and they don't leave, you know, on a high note. Like, we didn't sell him like Ronaldo. He stayed for 5 years, won the Champions
League. I don't know if players leave on a high note, you know, anymore.
Well, Ronaldo, I would say
if
Ronaldo,
you retire, Antonio Valencia was the only case. Yeah. Herrera, I'd be burning that jersey, bro.
Herrera, you got to burn.
I'd be burning that jersey.
There's a certain, so like this, you got the Lukaku jersey against my wishes. I said, no more. I said, no
I'm
more.
I'm sorry, Mom.
I said, no more jerseys. I was like, you jinxed too many players. You got the Lukaku shirt. He's out the next season. And we had to burn it. It's an offering to the Lord of Light, sir. If you're a Game of Thrones fan, you know, goodbye, Lukaku. We'll be getting that video on social media. It's a great. I mean, I've never burned the bad
juju
before.
Just the bad juju off number nine. And I want Martial to kick on, because I do have a Martial number nine that I just never put adhesive on for the back of a jersey. So that could be fun to do.
I've never burned a jersey before, but it was actually pretty spectacular. It was we got the right amount of lighter fluid. The setup was great.
It's a solid mass. Now it's a solid mass. Like a go.
I didn't know jerseys melted paperweight like that. Either way, having some fun. And we have some other jerseys we're going to burn throughout the season. So if the team's ever in a lull, I have a Yanazai. You know, we can make an offering to the gods and burn that Yanazai jersey. Try to revamp the juju, if you will, at Manchester United. For whatever it's worth.
Might need to, sir.
You know, we're superstitious fans here at American Red Devils Podcast. The next piece of news, Hannibal Medjbri. I can't pronounce that, sir. You want to give it a shot? Hannibal
Medjbri? That sounds pretty good, sir.
From Monaco, the youngster, just signed for the Manchester United, and they just revealed on their website the deal will go through subject to FIFA approval. Medjbri, who just turned 16, will be able to join United team. He turned 17 in January. Quote, United invited him to their Carrington training ground in a bid to woo him and his family, with the team deciding on the switch to Old Trafford shortly afterwards. I mean, this is like when we signed Chong, right? You got to watch these young kids come in. He'll be in the under 18s, U23s for a little while.
But he is highly rated, sir. He's like, apparently, they say the next Mbappe. I mean, I don't want to get players too excited, but £10 million for a 16-year-old is good money. That's a lot more than we spent on Heath Chong. So people are going to expect quite a bit out of him in a couple of years, but he's at the Manchester United Academy, one of the finest academies in the world. So a great place to learn.
These signings should excite you, because if you look at Ole and what he's trying to do with this team, bringing in young talent early, 16, 17, 18, the Greenwood, the Chongs of the world, that's really the way to do it. That's how you add value. Like, if you, Heath Chong could break into the starting 11, he'd be worth 80, 90 million, right? And we bought him for pretty much change. Just we show him the United way. We get him excited to play at Manchester United. I really like that idea. Therefore, you don't have to worry about the Dybalas. Do they want to play for the club? Do they just want the paycheck? So you get him young, you train him up, sir, kick him around the pitch, and you got a proper red, right?
And you bring him on the United way, which is all about winning, being a gentleman, and just all about winning, all about teamwork, all about getting the result on the pitch. Because that's all about entertaining the fans at the same time.
Jumping to fan questions. Speaking of fans from the Twitterverse, we have some cheeky ones here at JekekN12 on Twitter. JekekN12. Quote, confidence in the back line is sky high. Nervy first 20 minutes. Subpar first half, especially from Pogba in the mids. Rashford was scary in terms of his ruthless finishing. The Blues were shitting themselves every time he touched the ball. 4-0. Lots of exclamation points, sir. I think this kind of summed it up.
I think that defense is just so shook from even having a clean sheet. You know, the bar saved him twice. I think it's that, like, oof, I said, the gravitational pull of Maguire's slab head is keeping the ball out of the net. But I think that confidence is going to kick on because it's infectious. Now that they got a big result against Chelsea, they're going to want to go to Wolves and beat them up after what happened last year.
Next tweet from Mike E. Dubs 09. With a solid back line this year, I feel really confident about top four. Sir, are you feeling confident about top four?
Sir, as long as we don't have injuries, I think we should be okay. But this team is a little thin in all the most
important season.
It's a long season, a lot of games. And we got a Europa League campaign, FA Cup, League Cup. So, hey, we'll see what happens. But top four should be within reach.
At Ty Kircher on Twitter, quote, ecstatic about the result. It was amazing counterattacking football. I think that back four will grow together to be more solid. Does us not having possession at home make you nervous? I'd like to see the same counterattacking abilities, but also dominate more offensively. Hashtag Glazers out. Sir, what do you think about that? That's interesting. Chelsea had more of the ball at our house.
I mean, hey, that's kind of like the Mourinho way. Gift it to him. I think even Fergie, in certain situations, he would allow his opposition to have more of the ball. But I think a lot of it was sloppy giveaways and not being careful enough with the ball. But at the end of the day, if your team is built on counterattacking football, fast-paced, direct, decisive, and clinical, which they were, and the first half they were like giving the ball away cheaply, but I think it's because they were trying to go at speed and direct, and that's going to be how this team's going to try and play.
Yeah, and I do understand where he's coming from, but I don't think Ole is going for that City style play where you're going to own the ball 66% of the time, you're going to recycle the ball, and you know we're actually playing a quick, more direct attacking play. He wants to players to take risk. He wants them to lose the ball, not sweat it, try to beat a man again. And I think that type of Manchester United attacking play, we aren't going to have as much ball this year. It's just really how many goals you score, because when you score one, you open it up, score the second, and by the third, you know, our team looked pretty confident on the ball.
That third goal really short things up, sir.
We had more of the ball after that third goal. We were pinging it around. Chelsea looked completely defeated. And look, it's a dangerous game to play because one mistake, like you said, we did look vulnerable, like a few of these fans have kind of pointed out. But you know, you got to take it. You're 4-0. I mean, come on. You just got to enjoy that one.
Go from strength to strength. This team's only going to get better as they get more time together. I mean, think about it. Half that back line was new. New players that never played together. So, and Maguire had just joined the week before. So this team needs patience, just like Ole needs patience. And let's go kick the crap out of Wolves. Because I'm really up for that game. Too bad it's on Monday.
Yeah, and we're coming off preseason pace, too. So you saw like players taking too many touches, some awkward moments there, turning over the ball. They won't going forward. I just want to see more fluid passing, especially from the right and left back. Speaking of left back, I tweeted out, a little controversial here, I did see quite a bit of criticism of Luke Shaw, and I posed the question, what do you guys think about this Luke Shaw criticism? A few people got back. I just want to get a spectrum here at Chris Lugo 90. Okay, hear me on this one, amigos. Luke Shaw was the weakest link out of our back four. I'm guilty of criticizing Young, but let's not forget he has locked down Salah with 100% tackles, one, and Eden Hazard as well. If Shaw keeps getting beat down his side, we should give the old man Young a chance. I thought I'd just send this one your way, sir.
That's just a hot tweet. I like it. He's not wrong. It's that Luke Shaw just looks like the weakest player in our back four because he is, and he's not a bad player. It's just that I think you have three really strong defenders, and he doesn't track back the same way that Erwan Bissaka gets back, bro. But I don't know about I'm going to jump to putting Luke. I'm not putting Ashley Young in anytime soon.
You know, my take on Luke Shaw, I think he's a great player. And the best Luke Shaw we ever saw was under LVG before he broke his leg. The pace, the penetration. I mean, Luke Shaw just looks like he's had a few too many meat pies. I hate to say it, but, you know, he's been through all these managers. He was the most expensive I want to say young English defender that we ever signed at that point. I mean,
what's the caveat of the statistic? I think it was like the most youngest expensive left teenager back. Defender. Or
he
something.
Was the most expensive left back in the Premier League I think ever purchased or English
at the time.
Back. At the time before, I mean, dude, it was a record breaking.
It was
signing.
A lot of money. We spent good money on Luke Shaw.
I'll tweet out the record breaking signing.
I know he broke some records. Go to the mat. I know he broke some records. I'm not going to the mat.
Oh, like yeah, you're right. It's a generic shit. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Just give it to me hard. But like Luke Shaw, I'm gonna take your shit. I'm gonna throw it at Luke Shaw. I'm gonna say Luke Shaw, he's been kind of heckled for his lack of professionalism, and you see him out there, and you know he looks a little heavy. Honestly, just looks a little out of shape, and maybe that's preseason. Let's see how he does throughout the year. But I'm not going to critique Luke Shaw, but the one thing that you have to address is fitness, right? And Lukaku did tweet out the sprinting stats, and Luke Shaw was the slowest on the team, right? It was close to the bottom.
Either way,
like,
I mean,
behind De Gea, right?
I think work rate is something that you could always work harder, right? I mean, Pereira showed that he literally didn't stop running. So Luke Shaw, he's a talented defender. I just think you gotta keep running, mate. You gotta get back. You can't let your team be exposed that way because we were quite exposed on the left side a couple times, especially in the first half, sir.
The next response to the Luke Shaw drama at Red Devil 4GUD, he's definitely one of the best options we have right now, and some fans are going over the top with criticism. I think long term we'll need to look at other options, but right now we need to prioritize our midfield and our right wing. And I think hitting on that point is true. Not every player at Manchester United can be completely world class, but we do need that pace. And so Luke Shaw has it, haven't seen it for a while. You know, but I do agree, right wing and our midfield, especially if Paul P is going to be flirting.
Midfield first. I mean, I think we have enough attacking options, especially if you get Sanchez back playing the piano like we know you can. But they're going to be spending. I think they're going to be spending in January and then spending next summer as well. It seems like it's going to be this low and slow approach from Blazers and Co. moving forward.
Like a right wing, we could totally sign a record right winger. We could sign a left back and a midfielder. That'd be a great summer for us next summer. Or, you know, Ed can just do it in January. Sir, we have some housekeeping here at the American Red Devils podcast. Woo, that is a hell of a recap and a preview.
Hell of
a
start,
we are officially
sir. Hell of a start.
Back. How is it feeling being back on this podcast? We have a whole new setup. We have a mixing board. We're doing this all pretty much one run right through live. So if we heard any hiccups, we apologize. We're getting better at this thing. We have to actually play all the audio simultaneously while we're talking and yapping. So,
it was like a record heat day in the Bay.
We're
sweating in the bunker. It is hot, but that is not stopping us from getting out those hot bands because it was a hell of a week for United fans, sir. We got a lot of good downloads and a lot of good stuff to support the pod, like going to our new shop, which has got lots of custom gear that you can do. You can buy and support the American Red Devils. It's all custom made.
Where can they find that?
At our website, www.americanreddevils.com. You'll find the link at the top bar.
Sir, I just sent you some logos. You're going to have some more merch made. And by the way, our American Red Devils inaugural scarf, that's right, with our logo badge with the American Red flag in the American Red Devils badge. Selling like hotcakes, sir. For the fans who recently ordered them, we are sending them out like literally tonight. It's been a hell of a week. We've had more orders than we thought. But the best way for you to support this podcast is through our online store or just writing us a review on iTunes. Look, if you don't have the $14 for a scarf, you can support us. Just write us a review. We'll send you a sticker even. We had a lot of them come in recently where you get all of those stickers out in the mail. All you need to do, go on iTunes, drop a review, and screenshot it. Email it to americanreddevils@gmail.com, or you can tweet us on Twitter at USAREDDevils. You get a free sticker. It's a pretty good deal. And, you know, the ratings go up, sir. That's how we're found. And for us right now, we're such a small operation, literally us doing everything here, just literally shipping out the merch, ordering the merch, doing everything. You know, the sport goes a long way. And look, this team, it's going to be a hell of a year. And we're starting off on such a high note.
And you know what? Ole's back at the wheel. We're ripping again. We had a 4-0 victory to start it off. I'm excited for the upcoming Wolves game. There's no dread in me at all, sir. The future is bright. And we appreciate all the downloads. Another big week, sir.
So jump in, sir. Give me those top cities. We have a new one at the top of the leaderboard here.
Sir, number one, how you doing? Reykjavik, Iceland. Number two, Lakewood, Ohio. Number three, Clearwater, Florida. And number four, New York. Keep it going, sir.
Number five, my favorite, Chirac, Oslo, Norway. Number six, Hackensack, New Jersey. Shout out to Jersey. Number seven, where we both grew up. Poway, California, number eight. Atlanta, Georgia. Hotlanta, number nine. And boy, I bet you it's hot down in LA, but they have some AC, unlike us in the North Bay. Sir,
I'm just sweating all day, sir.
I'm really dripping right now. It's not something we want to talk about on the podcast, but look, it's a great start to the season. Let's not get ahead of our skis. We need to just let Ole do his job. The number one thing that we need to do is back the manager. Just because Ole beat Chelsea 4-0, look, it could be just a Chelsea problem. They looked pretty bad. The team selection didn't look good. The tactics didn't look good.
I'm not sure about that. I mean, they play a little bit.
I think Lampard's going to struggle.
That's the real bet. I think Lampard's going to be whacked before Ole. Ole will be given more time at Manchester United than Lampard is given to Chelsea.
Keep my fingers crossed on that.
Knocking on wood on that.
We'll be getting a jersey burning video out to you this week as well. And I mean, the Wolves game, we're riding high, but no matter what the result, we got to back our manager, back our club, sir. You know what? He does have a song. It's not too shabby. And I think we're going to go back to Ole's at the wheel.
How good does it feel?